morning and welcome to What We Lose in the Shadows,
a father-daughter true crime podcast.
My name is Jameson Keys.
I'm Caroline.
Happy Tuesday, Caroline.
Hi. Happy Tuesday.
And happy tax day.
Oh, my God. If there's anything that gets every single person upset, it's tax day. maybe not the accountants. I don't know.
Well, no, certainly not the accountants, right?
Well, it depends on the type of accountant.
Right. If you're a tax accountant, it's a busy time, but you're probably taking a vacation here not in the not so distant future with all the stuff they go through as well.
Literally, but filing taxes is so stressful for no reason. Like, I don't know why. The whole time I'm thinking, like, am I going to go to jail?
No, of course not.
I know. But you know, like, it's so stressful. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to owe them hundreds of thousands of dollars if I don't do this right. I don't know why there's so much stress on the line, but.
Yeah, it is stressful. And I know that for myself, I towards the end of last week, I was like, oh my God, taxes are due on Monday. And I always wait until the last minute because taxes are just such a, you know, arduous kind of a situation.
Agreed. Yeah.
But it's behind us. We're both filed. We're both good.
Thank God. Trigger warnings today are transphobia, hate crime, severe bullying, and suicide. Today we'll be discussing the case of Nex Benedict. This has been a really popular case in the media. I don't know if you've seen it.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been super popular, especially in the queer community. This is the second of the two-part comparison case of violence towards the trans community. So if you haven't listened to the first part, which is the most recent episode launched, titled Brianna Jai, go and do that first. After I tell you about this case, we're going to discuss the two cases together and kind of compare contrast. In 2022, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt signed a bill into law. The law mandates that children use the bathroom that aligns with their birth sex, even if it doesn't align with their gender identity. For some, that may seem like no big deal. But for young children who identify differently than their assigned gender at birth, it's super upsetting. It requires them to go into a bathroom that's uncomfortable, surrounded by students whose gender they don't align with. And this often leads to urinary issues in trans people, especially older trans people, because they avoid bathrooms for as long as possible.
Mm, understandable.
And for me, I know if I had to go into the men's bathroom, I would be very uncomfortable. It would be hard to go to the bathroom, honestly.
Right.
So the law states that in public schools in the state of Oklahoma, children must go to the bathroom that aligns with their gender at birth. If the school is found out of compliance with this law, the state will be able to cut their funding.
Nice.
Ridiculous. So ridiculous. Parents are allowed to take action against the school if their children tell them that a child was not cooperating with the law.
Craziness right there.
I mean, it's just, it creates a really horrible, hostile, contentious culture at the school, which is this is a high school. But it goes for elementary through high school.
For sure.
In Oklahoma. If a child does not follow this law, they can face disciplinary action. So, Oklahoma is a tough place to be queer or different in any way, especially as a child, it seems. Other laws that impact the queer community there are the ban of using gender-neutral markers on birth certificates, even for adults. Minors are prevented from getting gender-affirming care, and a requirement for all school employees to use names and genders given at birth, even after being asked to call them differently.
That doesn't seem right.
It's very disrespectful, especially that last one just really kills me. I'm like, because I don't know. It's just like, it's such a simple act that means so much to someone. So like, if someone goes up to you and says, I prefer the name, whatever, you know, it's just, sure. It's so simple. It does not cost you anything to be respectful and nice.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And I just can't believe that they require school employees to follow what a person does not want. It's ridiculous.
It's kind of archaic, right?
It is. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it's just, it's so upsetting, especially for children, because, you know, adults, like, we learn to have a protective barrier,
right?
You know, but as children, you know, we're very sensitive. I know that for me, I found, you know, just the slightest thing to be really hard to accept. You know, you have to learn to build that like tolerance of of disrespect, of different opinions. You have to learn to build that. So for children, it can be really tough to swallow.
For sure, because you're still forming your own identity. You're still, right. You know, you're not comfortable in your skin regardless, even mm-hmm. if you're quote unquote, you know, straight, heterosexual, whatever, you're still forming who you actually are,
what you like,
what exactly. you like and that sort of thing. And you're never more susceptible to, you know, bullying or for people to try to push you in a certain direction
Absolutely.
Than you are when you're young. So yeah, that's horrendous.
It's really bad environment for queer youth. And it's really sad. So Ryan Walters, the superintendent for the public schools in the state of Oklahoma, also required that, or requires still to this day, that all school records align with the assigned sex at birth, regardless of the preferences of the child and or guardians.
Nice.
Yeah. In January of 2024, Walters placed a far-right TikToker who had no background in education on a committee that advises the State Board of Education.
Interesting.
Her name is Chaya Rochick, and she has a TikTok page that belittles LGBTQ people called Libs of TikTok. This happened 2 years after Chaya had posted a TikTok making fun of Nexus, to bring this back into, you know, Nexus life, making fun of Nexus' favorite teacher who resigned later that year. So the superintendent for the public schools of the state decided to put a far-right TikToker on the board of education that makes fun of LGBT people when we have LGBT youth.
Far-right, far-left, I could care less, but bully and non-bully, which this person seems like they are.
Right.
That's an issue. That's a problem.
It's a big issue. It's just, I don't know where that would fit in. I'm confused why they would even think that's, okay. The state public school board also requires that teacher. This is insane. The state public school board also requires that teachers report any identity preferences to parents, such as gender identity and sexual orientation. Like, I mean, if they hear rumors, if they hear, I mean, this promotes like a big brother, I don't know, environment of like students tattling on each other or even lying about each other just to get them in trouble.
My God, this sounds like Nazi Germany.
It's horrible.
This sounds now, and I know that's an overreach. I'm not comparing this to Nazi Germany, but at the same time, they had that same thing going on. You had people that were kind of assigned, you know, kind of aligned with the Nazi party, and they would have little tattletales and things like that, telling the people we think that they're possibly Jewish and that sort of thing. And
exactly,
it's kind of similar to that. Yeah, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that these people are Nazis. I'm not saying that at all. But at the same time, there have been so many times in history, even the history of this country, mm-hmm. where you had people going through, like, there were the Red Scare during the 1950s that you would have to, you know, spy on people and say, we think they're communists. And like there were actors that were kind of ostracized because of their political leanings and so on. It was a real weird. I wasn't alive at that point. Believe it or not, Caroline.
Surprising.
but something similar. I mean, it's like, who cares what someone's orientation is and who cares if a child likes to consider themselves one thing or another? I mean,
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And
we have far bigger problems.
Yes.
To deal with. And the school
system.
But also,
this isn't a problem.
Well, no, but I mean, we have far bigger issues than what someone considers themselves, you know.
What makes them happy?
What makes them happy?
Jesus
sure.
fucking Christ. Like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, exactly.
They pick on the vulnerable too, because they're mad that they can't pick on, or they can't, you know, control what other adults do in their life.
Right.
So they pick on young children. They don't want them to get to the point where they're comfortable with themselves being queer, right. being trans. Like, right. they do not want that. And it's super frustrating to see, because, you know, I remember my own experience, like, and of course it was nothing as intense as this, but, you know, there were definitely bullies that tried to tell me that I was this or that because I was gay, and it was horrible.
Right.
And, you know, obviously this is a much more intense situation that Nex found themselves in. Really tragic. And also, so like the requirement of teachers to report on their students, ridiculous. Right. But I mean, this can also be extremely dangerous for youth who live in homophobic and transphobic houses.
Sure.
So like, I mean, you know, we've all met someone that would probably not be happy with their child coming out as gay. Right. Scary to think about if their child who's young and vulnerable doesn't have anywhere to go. What happens if the teacher comes to that type of parent and is like, yeah, your child's gay, your child's trans, and they kick them out?
Right.
Because that's a big issue in like the queer youth community, is being kicked out, which right. is a lot. This is oftentimes why people wait until they're older to come out, is because they're scared to be disowned without any background and having to drop out of high school. They don't want that. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they know that puts them back a lot if you don't have a high school diploma, if you don't have a support system through college, you know? So it's just setting the queer community up to fail. Mm-hmm. And it's totally ignoring the fact that queer people are queer. They mm-hmm. think it's a decision and they just want to stomp out that decision, which is not the case. It's ridiculous. But so I tell you all of this to set the scene for the following incident. Obviously a hostile environment for Nex and other queer youth in this situation. Nex Benedict was a sophomore at Oswego High School in Oklahoma this year in February 2024. Mm-hmm. Nex was being bullied severely by other classmates for being transgender. Honestly, I'm not surprised by like what we just discussed, like Jesus. Like,
yeah, it's an environment. They created an environment where this is not only possible, but preferable.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, these kids, they're also, you know, very susceptible too. So I don't want to feel too badly for the kids that are like bullying them. But also I will say that like, if you grow up in this environment, you're just going with the like crowd think is a thing. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So that's why it's so important to be accepting and loving in that kind of high school environment, in that elementary, middle school, like leading up, because that's what you teach people, these children, to become.
Right.
Next identified as gender fluid, which for those who may not know, which is totally fine, what that means is a person who doesn't identify with one gender over another consistently. Mm-hmm. So fluid, that's where the fluid comes in. Mm-hmm. So on February 7th, 2024, Next walked into the bathroom that the state required them to use, even mm-hmm. though they were uncomfortable using it.
Right.
They went into the bathroom and soon were followed in by three teenage girls who had been bullying them in recent years. The girls cornered Nex, making fun of them for having to use the girls' bathroom when they know Nex did not want to. Nex poured water on one of the girls in retaliation, which is water,
right.
again. The girls then grabbed Nex, threw them on the floor, and beat them. They were slamming Nex's head into the tile floor repetitively.
Oh my God.
Until a teacher heard the commotion and came to break up the fight.
Mm.
Remember that. So this ensued because they were verbally harassing Nex, mm-hmm. and then Nex put water on one of them.
Right.
And then they literally beat the shit out of them.
Wow.
Like, it's totally unacceptable. But just wait, remember that. So Sue Benedict, Nex's adoptive mother and their biological grandmother, were called to the school after the incident. Sue had adopted Nex after their father relinquished parental rights and went to prison for physically and mentally abusing Nex. So this is just, there's a lot of trauma going on in this poor trans child's life.
Right.
The school not only had not called the police to report the assault, but had suspended Nex for 2 weeks
for fighting.
No, for fighting. They said that they were fighting, but that's not what the reports say.
Did they suspend the people that were smashing their heads into the ground?
No,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Very ironic. I wonder why in that environment. I couldn't understand why that happened. So Sue took Nex to the hospital to get checked out because they were covered in bruises and scratches and had lost consciousness. The police were called there, and while they were there, said that throwing water is also assault. What the fuck? And that because Nex had initiated the fight via the water, that the rest was self-defense.
From water?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this is the system that's going on here.
Right.
So it's very upsetting. And so Sue was obviously upset at the officer for their flippant attitude about the attack that had happened on their child.
Right.
So the officer told Sue that if she decides to press charges, that Nex could face punishment too. So coercion to not press charges.
Insane.
It's, I mean, it's just, it's a, it's the system working exactly how that governor wanted it to work, though.
Right.
So this led to Sue not pressing charges because she didn't want her child to get in trouble, you know? And that's what the police officer told her to do, not to press charges. So Nex was discharged and sent home. So the next day, Nex collapsed in their living room at home. Sue said that their eyes were rolling back and that they were struggling to breathe. And Nex had completely stopped breathing when EMS came and they were declared dead at the hospital.
Oh my God.
So February 9th, the day after Nex had died, the police were contacted. They collected photos from the unnamed, from unnamed sources to related to the bullying and the situation from 2 days earlier. So later, next, the month after, March 13th, a medical examiner did an autopsy and found that the result of death was due to a drug interaction of Benadryl, an antihistamine, and Prozac, an SSRI, used for anxiety and depression. Nex's death was ruled a suicide. They said that they did find multiple injuries on Nex's head and neck, including 2 contusions, 2 lacerations, 2 abrasions, and hemorrhaging on their right cheek. The Tulsa District Attorney's Office said that no charges would be brought related to the incident of bullying or assault. They claimed that it was an incident of mutual combat. Have you ever heard that used in legal terms? I'm like, what the fuck is a combat? Okay. For high school teenagers. What?
Was there an unusual dose of the...
Yeah, so they found that there was more of the Benadryl in their system. So it was a suicide because they were bullied, beat the shit out of, and then no one took them seriously.
And then blamed for the whole incident.
And then blamed for the entire incident.
Awful. Truly awful.
This situation is so heartbreaking to me. At almost every angle, this child was failed. Right. The state with their discriminatory laws, the city with the victim blaming and lack of upholding the law.
Right.
Their school for suspending them after they were assaulted on campus. The community of their peers at their school for not accepting them and bullying them to the point of suicide.
Right.
Their father for abusing them all growing up. I mean, the list goes on. I just, my heart really goes out to Sue Benedict and the queer community and our allies there in Oklahoma. Because that's a really tough battle, obviously, that's going on down there. And just in shock after reading all of that. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, it's tragic.
Well, I mean, at least in the Breonna Jai case, right, there was some, you know, there was some legal process that took place that actually held the people accountable.
Yes.
Now, it was different.
So, obviously. Yes, I was going to say, let's talk about the 2 cases. Right. So just a refresher on the Breonna Jai case for you, me, everyone. Mm-hmm. So basically what happened was Breonna Jai was a transgender girl who was living in the UK. Her classmates, 2 classmates of hers, told her, like, lured her to the park and then murdered her with a knife. It was a physical murder.
Sure.
This is a suicide. That right. is different. Both were being bullied very badly.
Mm-hmm.
But Breonna Jai had a solid support system.
Right.
And I think that is a big difference of what happened. And they were both the same age. Both 16. Breonna Jai and Nex.
Wow.
And it's so tragic.
It is. I mean,
they are different. I will say these cases are very different, but I wanted to bring the 2 really big cases that have happened in the last year involving, you know, the trans youth. We're talking about children.
Right.
Which is right. so crazy
well,
to me.
Well, it's different. Right. By the time you're an adult, right, you sort of build a thicker skin in terms of whatever someone might say about
right.
you. Right.
Yeah.
You sort of constitute your own personal being, right? You are who you are and you're comfortable with that, hopefully. And you get a thicker skin and you're not as influenced.
And you find your chosen family.
Right. And you find like-minded people that support system.
You. Yeah. yeah. And that is so important.
Doesn't sound like Nex had either one of those things going on.
No.
Except for the grandmother.
The grandmother seemed to be very much in their corner.
Good.
And I know that was very much appreciated by them.
Right, absolutely. And obviously the Breonna Gye case was a straight up
murder.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and the other one was a death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know what I mean?
Did the coroner say that there's absolutely, conclusively, there's no connection to the hemorrhaging and the...
So they said that it was very clear that they were beat badly,
right.
But that it did not result in a fatal outcome. So that was not their cause of death.
Right.
And so... that's one misconception that a lot of people have had. And, you know, that's why I wanted to do this case partially as well, because I wanted to see where's the disconnect, because a lot of people in the queer community thought that they were murdered the same way Breonna Gye was.
Sure.
And so after looking deeper into it, it was an assault followed by a suicide. And I think that's where people were confused. And so I wanted to put out the facts of this case so everyone is clear about them.
See, but that confuses me too, because like, even if you're walking down the street, right. And, something happens and you get into a scuffle, right. And someone is injured or whatever, no matter who started it, right. Both people are possibly, you know, guilty of assault, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't see how they completely expunged the fact that these girls smashed Nex's head into the ground.
Yeah, and caused...
it's still an assault.
Yes.
I mean, I don't care if Nex threw water on the girls. It doesn't matter.
Right, it's water. Right?
It's water.
Jesus.
And you want to... I mean, I can't understand why they wouldn't prosecute those girls. Not that they want to see them thrown in jail, but honestly, you did something that triggered something in someone that harmed them, number one, and kind of pushed them over the edge to commit suicide.
Exactly.
There has to be some...
Accountability
there.
Yes. It's just... it's interesting to see, although these cases are different...
Mm-hmm.
They ended kind of similarly in the fact that their lives were not being respected.
Right.
And that respect looks different. The disrespect looks different in those two cases. But these are the plights of trans people in this day and age. And it's disturbing when we have all of this information. We have all of this, you know, education about mental health, about accepting and loving one another. I mean, and how important support systems are. I just do not understand the people who want to bring others down for no reason. No reason.
Well, right. And like maybe 25 years ago or more than that, there's probably something similar with the gay community, right? Because there were people that were committing suicide because they were outed, and they they were pursued, or they were beaten up or whatever. And then slowly things changed a little bit in the United States. And now I think things are better.
Things are definitely better than, you know, I think they get a little bit better as time goes on.
Right.
But I mean, just in the past year, I've been called slurs. Sure. Out of car doors, kicked out of Ubers. Like, I mean, it's insane.
Right.
It's insane. And we live in like a city that is accepting and overwhelmingly gay. It's confusing. But yes, I do agree with that parallel that you're making, that like gay people really were struggling in the past. Now the struggle is, it looks different. You know what I mean? And it's lessened. But trans people are going through it, and we really need to throw our weight behind them and support people in our community, the trans people in our community. We need to make sure that they feel valued, because their lives are super important, just as ours are.
Right. And honestly, you never know, right, where there could be someone in the trans community that is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, absolutely.
And absolutely has some kind of a world changing, world bettering kind of an idea. And if you snuff these people out or force them to commit suicide, you're taking potential away from the world, away from the country, right?
Definitely.
At a time that we could ill use, we could use all the creativity and all the potential and all the, you know, the intelligence that we could possibly do. And honestly, to what business?
None.
Is it, if someone wants to consider themselves a different gender.
It's so unproblematic.
I might not agree with it, but how is that hurting me in any way, shape, or form?
Exactly. It isn't. But you do agree.
I do agree.
I know. Because you're a good ally. But it's frustrating. I totally agree. And it's just, it's super upsetting. It's, yeah. And it goes back to why diversity is such an important part of society.
Right.
Because we are better together.
For sure.
We are better supporting each other, loving each other, despite our differences, learning from each other. We all have something to give. Follow the show on whatever streaming site you're listening on.
And remember, all of the source material will be available in the show notes.
And follow us on Instagram at What We Lose in the Shadows. And let us know if you want to hear a specific case.
Or if you just want to give us some feedback.
Okay, join us in the shadows next Tuesday. Bye.